in the upper room. The Lord is talking to the disciples. As we've said before, Judas has been dismissed to go and betray the Lord. The Lord has given the elements a new meaning, and we've had the Last Supper. The Lord has told Peter that he is going to deny him. Thomas has asked the Lord, how do we know the way? And the Lord has answered with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Philip has answered and asked the Lord to show the Father, and Jesus has responded with, have I been such a long time with you, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then last week we saw that Judas, not Iscariot, this was Ladius or Thaddeus, asked the question, how wilt thou manifest thyself unto us? And then the Lord went on to talk then about, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And in this discourse, in response to Judas's question, the Lord gives an incredible explanation of peace. And I just want to talk this morning about a perfect peace. And we do, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, have a peace that passes understanding. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for all of those that have been able to gather together today in this way. Thank you for those who are still gathering with us online. And Father, we just pray that through the preaching of your word today, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, that you would encourage us, and that we would have an understanding of what this peace that only you can provide does, Lord. The world talks about peace, peace in our time, peace in the Middle East, and peace after the many wars that nations have fought. But Father, only you can provide a perfect peace and an everlasting peace. And Father, we just pray that we've experienced that peace with God when our sins are forgiven. But we ask that you'd help us to understand how to apply this peace to our lives in every aspect of our lives that we face. So Father, would you bless to us now the teaching and preaching of your word, and would you receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise, for we ask it in that precious, perfect, and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. So here the Lord gives an assurance to his disciples and promises to leave his peace. And the word peace here occurs 6 times in John's Gospel, the particular word that is used here. And it is always used by the Lord himself. The disciples' world was about to fall apart. Everything they knew, all that they had been doing for these last 3.5 years in following the Lord Jesus Christ, would soon fall apart. Soon the sound of marching men would be heard as they trundled toward Gethsemane to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the incredible would happen. Christ would be placed upon the cross of Calvary, and the disciples would be overwhelmed. Already Judas is off somewhere paving the way for these men to march towards Gethsemane. And the Lord says to these apprehensive men who are upset because of these continuous changes, and let's be honest, none of us really like change. And the men are going to have the biggest change in their lives. And because of that apprehension, the Lord says, peace. Peace. I am going to give you my peace. And that's incredible. He says, peace I leave with you. Not just any old peace, but my peace. His peace. The Prince of Peace will impart that peace to us. You know, they had seen that peace on the stormy sea. You imagine how they felt when they thought that their ship was going to sink, when they thought they were going to lose their lives, and then the Lord just stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves and said, shh, peace, be still. If the Lord can calm a raging sea, can I say this? Any storm that rages in our lives, even though we might not see any way out of it, even though we might not see any fix to the problem we find ourselves in, the Lord can still come to our storm and say, peace. The Lord can give us an inability to worry about what we're facing. You know, there are times we face things in our lives where we should be absolutely panicked. And sometimes when we experience the Lord's peace, you're thinking, well, why aren't I worrying? Why aren't I panicking? Why aren't I running around like a headless chicken? And it's because the Lord has granted his peace in our lives. My peace I leave with you. And we understand storms will come. We understand that natural fears will clamor to be seated on the throne of panic in our hearts. But our task is to allow Christ's peace to literally overwhelm us, to allow Christ's peace to engulf us. And he pledges us his peace. And not only does he pledge us his peace, but he reinforces that promise with his presence. You know, it's all very well and good for somebody to promise something that they can't deliver. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll not only grant you my peace, but I'll grant you my presence. Which, if you like, confirms that peace. You know, the world's answer and the Lord's answer to peace are completely different. Because the world's peace comes by, if you like, running away from our problems. But the Lord's peace comes in spite of our problems, in the midst of our problems. The world's version of peace is dependent upon resources, but the Lord's peace is dependent upon our relationship with him. The world's peace is dependent upon our abilities, and yet the Lord's peace is dependent upon the adequacy and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's peace is effectively shallow and doesn't last very long, but the Lord's peace is everlasting. The world's peace offers no real peace about the future. And yet the Lord's peace not only gives us a hope for the future, it gives us a hope for all eternity. The world's peace is based upon circumstances and can be taken away at any time. And yet the Lord's peace is independent of circumstances. So why then do we have peace in Christ? How can we rest upon the fact that we've been promised this peace? Why do we have peace in Christ? Because our adversary has been defeated. Our adversary has been defeated. A missionary once returned to his home in Africa only to find a huge python inside the house. He ran back to his truck and got a 45 caliber pistol, went to his home and carefully entered through the door, took aim with the pistol and fired a single shot into the snake's head. The snake thrashed violently, and the tremendous power of the snake's movement broke and damaged many items within the home. After the home finally became silent, the missionary slowly entered the house to find the snake dead, but the inside of the home was a complete and utter disaster. The snake had unleashed all of its fury in those moments of death, but now there was peace. Can I say this, that Satan has received a fatal blow to the head when Christ conquered sin and death? And in these moments before the Lord returns, it's as if Satan is writhing about and causing as much carnage and damage as he possibly can. But praise God, we've been freed from the clutches of Satan's hold. Praise God that we've been rescued from that when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. You know, we were once of our father the devil. That's what the Lord said, ye are of your father the devil. But when we trust Christ as our Savior, he becomes our Heavenly Father. He becomes our Abba Father. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin. We have peace because our adversary has been defeated. You know, I don't know what you were like when it comes to watching sport. I do like my rugby. I would go as far to say as I love my rugby. But I get a bit stressful watching games and get a bit emotional and Yeah, I suppose stressed out. You're allowed to say stressed out as a Christian. You're allowed to say what? A bit, yeah. I'm a bit hard work watching rugby matches live because it's quite anxious. But here's the thing, I love watching rugby matches after I know the result. You know, one thing that's got me through this lockdown is watching reruns of Wales' victories. But they're a lot easier to watch. Because at the time when you're like, oh no, you know, are we going to lose this? Are we going to lose that play, that line out, that scrum, that penalty, whatever it is? Oh, you don't know what's going to happen. But when you know the result, you can kind of like, yeah, I know they knocked on that. Yeah, I know that was an interception try. Yeah, I know that happens. But we win in the end. So that doesn't stress me out as much as it does when I watch it live. You're like, why are you saying all of that? I'm saying that to say this. We have the same peace as Christians because we know the end result. We can become anxious in this life. We can become fraught. You know, anxiety can overtake us. And, you know, we can become stressed and we can become downcast. And like Joe talked about, why art thou cast down on Tuesday night in the ladies' meeting? But we know what the end result is. And Christ has granted us a perfect peace because, if you like, we know what happens next. We have the same peace as Christians because we know what's going to happen in that final battle. We know that Christ has the victory, and as a result of that victory, we have the victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you know what I really kind of struggle with sometimes in movies and films? Is when the bad guy wins. You know, when the bad guy gets away with it, and you think, I'm not sure if I'm happy with that. But we know who wins the final battle. And can I say this? The bad guy doesn't get away with it. We have peace with God because our adversary is defeated. But not only is our adversary defeated, we have peace with God because our affairs are in order. I was going to say that how many of you dislike tests, but everybody who's in school now feel like, what tests? We haven't had to do any tests. This has been awesome. I hated tests in school, mainly because I never used to revise for any of them. I remember doing my reading for the English exam, for my English GCSE, we had a book to read. And I read it on the bus on the way into the exam. I thought, well, if I read the beginning and the middle and the end, I could kind of get the gist of the story. Granted, it wasn't Romeo and Juliet, it was Jan and John, but besides the point. But sometimes when people haven't revised for a test, there's a bit of a panic. There's a bit of a, you know, an uneasiness. I know if Joe hasn't prepared for something, she's not good with last minute stuff. Joe's a little bit of a freak with everything's got to be in order. For the ladies, when this lockdown is over, I'll show you a little video of Joe before the ladies meeting. You can come and see me and I'll show you that. But you know, Joe doesn't like to be not prepared. There's a bit of a panic that sets in. And sometimes, you know, we can feel like that. We can feel panicked and frantic and pressured and frustrated and worried and restless. And we can feel like that, not just when it comes to a job situation or, you know, a situation. Or we can become like that with anything in our lives. And sometimes we just need the Lord's peace to come in and comfort our hearts. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul said to Timothy, for I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. We have peace because our affairs are in order. You know, when that time comes to depart this world, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there doesn't need to be that panic. Have I done enough? Have I prepared enough? You know, are all my affairs in order? Because Christ promised to us now, when we trust him as our Savior, is to enjoy that peace. Until it's time for him to call us home, we are to enjoy that peace that he's imparted to us. There was a large industrial town in the United States many years ago, and there was a plant erected there, warehouses erected there for the manufacture of artificial flowers. And the work was enjoyable, and the wages paid to the employees were far better than they had been able to earn elsewhere. And this establishment was looked upon as a bit of a godsend to the whole community. Very soon, however, the health of one of the brightest and most capable girls began to fail. She was listless and weary to her work, and when it was done, she was barely able to drag herself home. And one day, she was not able to even leave her bed. A week later, the undertaker's hearse stood at the door, and suddenly, other employees went home from the factory white and fainting and unable to go to work anymore. Finally, an investigation was made, and it was found that the workers had been inhaling deadly chemicals at the factory, which were used in the colouring of the flowers. While they had been generously paid in money, a part of the real wages was death. And that's what Paul talks about when he says the wages of sin is death. There is a high price tag for that sin. Isaiah says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. The wicked can't know peace because of the price of sin. You know, the one thing that you hear quite often now in this time of uncertainty, in this time of, you know, this pandemic, is people fearful of what tomorrow holds. People fearful of, you know, because so many people have been affected with friends they know, or, you know, with close family or whatever. There is an awareness then of death. There's an awareness of people's mortality. And it says that the wicked know no peace because of sin. But the price of sin has been paid upon the cross. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of what Christ did upon the cross, we can have that peace, knowing that our affairs are in order, knowing that our account has been settled. You know, what if somebody said to you now, and I don't know how many of you have still got mortgages. What if somebody came into you today now and just said, right, I'm going to pay your mortgage off? What would you say? You can't do that. No, I'm sorry. There must be something I need to do in order to earn that. Or no, that sounds too good to be true. I don't want you to do that. If somebody came to me and said, look, I'll pay your mortgage off, and there was no strings attached, I'd be like, happy days. Thanks for that. Crack on. You know, when Christ said upon the cross, it is finished, that's what it means, paid in full. And I don't understand why anybody would reject that kind of a gift, that we can have an eternal peace because of what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. The price of our sin has been paid, our account has been settled, our affairs have been put in order. And because we know that, we can have that peace, a peace that passes understanding. Therefore, Paul said in Romans 5, when being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know we have peace? Because our adversary is defeated, our affairs are in order, and because of Christ's peace, our anxieties can be eased. The peace of God, Paul said in Philippians 4:7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be incredible if when we became Christians, we never had any problems ever again until we went to glory? That would be really nice. But we still live in a fallen world. We still apart and live in human bodies. You know, these bodies are not perfect. They don't, you know, they wear out. Things go wrong with them. Wouldn't it be great if when we became a Christian, everything was perfect until we went home to glory? But it's not like that. We live in a difficult world. We live in a time, and let's be honest, you know, these past 4 months for many people have been really hard. and have been really stressful and have been, has caused great anxiety, because there is so much uncertainty about what's going to happen tomorrow. But Christ said, even in those times of difficulties, he can give us peace. A peace that the world just simply cannot offer. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And that perfect peace there is a Hebrewism where it uses the word twice, peace, peace. It's like emphasizing what that peace is like. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. God has an abundant peace for us. When David Livingstone appeared at the University of Glasgow to receive an honorary doctorate of law, he was received with silent respect. He was gaunt and weary from 16 years of exposure to Africa's hardships. One arm hung useless at his side because of an attack by a lion. And Livingstone asked, shall I tell you what supported me through all those years of exile among people whose language I could not understand, whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Livingstone said he found his strength and his calm and his security and his assurance in those jungles and perils of Africa in knowing that the Lord was with him. Always. That was the security of his life. His anxieties were eased because of the peace that the Lord was able to impart into his heart. And we are secure in Christ. You know, how many of you have ever been in a real storm? You know, you look at the weather we had in February. It was just crazy. You know, that was just an unrelenting storm. You know, but there was, for most people, a certain amount of safety being at home. You know, the doors are closed, the windows are closed. You know, for those who weren't, right next to rivers, there was quite a comfort of being in the home and being protected from the raging storm. I don't know if you've ever been in a ship. I know I've said this before. We went on a little weekend cruise years ago. I think it was for my 30th birthday. Years ago, and as we were coming back across the English Channel, it was only like we were meant to go to, I think it was like Amsterdam, Jersey, and then back up to Southampton or something like that, but we couldn't go because the weather was so bad. We managed to get to Amsterdam, and the ship stayed in the harbour, the port. There we are. Get the terminology right. But then when we had to get back to Southampton, we went across the English Channel and the weather was horrendous. It was awful. And I went up on the deck to just because that's, yeah, I suppose, still part of you was like 10 years old. And then you're like, oh, it was just so blowy. And you literally had to lean into the wind. But when you came down into the ship, even though you could see that the storm was still going on, you weren't affected by the wind itself because you were suddenly inside. The storm hadn't stopped. My trust wasn't in myself. My trust then was in the person responsible for, I almost said driving then, you don't drive a ship, do you? Sailing the boat. That's where my trust was. I thought, well, I got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. And you know, when the storm rages about this, sometimes it's not a case of us just saying, right, I've got to get through this. Right, I've got to pull myself together. Listen, sometimes we don't feel like pulling ourselves together. Sometimes we can't pull ourselves together. That's when we just need to trust that the Lord will be able to pilot our ship, that the Lord will be able to protect us from the effects of the storm. Not that he takes the storm away. You know, when we were in that ship, the storm was still raging about us, but the ship gave us a certain amount of protection from the storm. We were still aware of the storm because you could still feel it and see it, but you were protected from the elements, as it were. And sometimes the storm is not removed from our lives, but the Lord is able to give us a peace that helps our anxieties to ease. We're secured in Christ. God is our refuge and strength. And I love that. I love that passage of scripture in Psalm 40. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Though we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And that word refuge, it is just talking about literally that, a harbor, a safe haven, that when a ship is tossed about and battered by the winds and the sea and the elements, that when he comes into that harbor, that's a safe haven, that is a refuge, and God is a refuge and strength for us. The Lord can calm those storms in our lives. And if those storms continue to rage, then the Lord will grant us that protection we need during those times. It's interesting that the word peace is actually from the Latin word pax. I got to look at my Latin experts now across my left. Roman paxa, peace of Rome, is that right? So pax actually is from the Latin word, which means to fasten or to hold fast. And that's what the Lord says. My peace will help you hold fast. My peace will help you to just to keep going. My peace will, if you like, batten down the hatches. Batten down the hatches. That's what it means. The idea of fastening to achieve a stable condition. You know, how much safer do we feel in the night when the doors are locked? You know, and we're at home, we're in our, if you like, our safe haven. Our salvation is fastened. Our salvation is secured. Our salvation, if you like, is locked up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's able to impart that peace to us, it can help us to stand firm in those stormy times of our lives. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means when we have peace with God, we are reconciled with him. When we have peace with God, we are calm in the midst of a storm. When we have peace with God, we have that tranquility in those times of trials, troubles, and tribulations. When we have peace with God, we have that stillness in the storms that come our way. When we have peace with God, we have that fellowship with one that sticketh closer than a brother. When we have peace with God, we have what we need when it's time to rest. When we have peace with God, even though there are times when bitterness and worry and anger and hate start ahead our way, but they can be dispelled from our lives because of the peace that the Lord has granted to us. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Goes on to say, you've heard in verse 28, how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. The Lord knew what was coming was already underway. The wheels had been set in motion. He was doing everything he could to bolster the faith of his disciples. Isn't it incredible? You know, we've been looking at this now, that the disciples' world is going to be turned upside down and the disciples are going through this. But it was the Lord who would be the one that would be put on the cross. It would be the Lord who was going to be forsaken by his Father. It was the Lord who was going to have the weight of the sins of the whole world placed upon him. And yet what was on his mind? His disciples. Are the disciples, okay, I've prayed for you. My peace I'm going to leave with you. All he did was to bolster their faith. And their faith would be stronger when they look back on this incident. John, for one, I'm sure, had reflected upon these predictions of the Lord with great spiritual profit as the years went on. Ha. In verse 30 he says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." The prince of this world is one of Satan's titles. The kingdom of this world became his province when Adam sinned. And in the temptation, remember, he offered them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't rebuke him when Satan said, "Look, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms." The Lord didn't say, "Well, then are yours to give." He just quoted scripture. The devil is the prince of this world. Satan didn't know it, but his own downfall and doom were in the cross that he was so busily, if you like, preparing the Lord for. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence." The world would know how great was the love that he had for the Father, which caused him to become obedient even unto the death of the cross. And you know, our view of Christ's death, which is the subject of so many of our hymns, is centered upon his love for us. "He loved me," Paul said, "and he gave himself for me." You know, we view the cross as an emblem of Christ's love for us, but the Lord's view of the cross is centered on his love for the Father. "That the world may know that I love the Father." You know, we look at Calvary and we see the sin offering, what the cross has wrought for us. Well, Jesus looked at the cross and saw the burnt offering, what the cross wrought for the Father. By going to the cross, he would bear the tribute of the world. "As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." A moment before, the Lord had said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words." Now, in effect, he says, "I practice what I preach. I love the Father, and I'll demonstrate that by going to the cross of Calvary." You know, we often look at it as, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The cross is a demonstration of God's love for us, but the cross is also a demonstration of Christ's love for the Father. "I practice what I preach." Could we say the same thing? Do we practice what we preach? You know, oftentimes one of the most convicting things for me is when Joe reminds me of a message that I preached that perhaps I haven't fully followed through with sometimes. And I've gone to do something and Joe says, "Oh, well, my pastor once said," I'm like, "Oh, don't use that. That's not fair. You can't. That's inadmissible. You're not allowed to say stuff like that." But we ought to practice what we preach, shouldn't we? Our testimony ought to be such that it points people to the Lord and not away from him. We ought to always do those things that please the Father. And then as he brings this part of his discourse to a close, he says, "Arise, let us go hence," ending the discourse in the upper room. And the words imply haste. Evidently, as he spoke, he rose to his feet. Even as the disciples still lounged around the table, the time had come for him to go to the cross. The rest of the words in this private discourse were spoken somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. But how incredible. One of the darkest nights this world has known, the Lord was able to talk about peace. Can I say this, that even in our darkest moments, the Lord can still provide us with his peace? And we don't always understand how he can do that, because the situation we find ourselves in should be one that is causing us to stress, panic, be anxious. But when we experience that peace, it's as if the Lord just gives us an inability to worry about things. And I wonder if there's something that you are facing this morning. Maybe you were going through something and you were like, "You will never know how much I need the Lord's peace in my life right now." And if that's you, I just pray that the Lord will grant that peace to you. Because he's promised us Here's the thing, the Lord doesn't make an empty promise and then, you know, it's not something he can follow through with. The Lord says, I'll give you my peace so that you can let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what is it today that you need that peace in your life? He knows what it is. He knows what we're facing. He knows what we're going through. Well, I wonder if we could just come to him this morning and say, Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through, and I can't do it. I just need your peace. Because this is really starting to stress me out. This is really starting to get to me. This is really starting to cause me to feel ill. And I know you've not given us the spirit of fear. You've given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I need your help. I think sometimes we just need to be honest with the Lord and just be willing to say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know you can. I'm thankful for his peace, because his peace is better than anything that this world has to offer. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you so much, Father, for all of those who've been able to gather together in this way. And Lord, whatever the need is here this morning, I just pray that that need would be met, Father. I pray whatever situation that people here in the church, those listening at home, whatever it is that we have faced it, Father, you know the needs of each and every one of your children. And I pray that you would just be able to come alongside them now and just grant them a sense of your peace and presence in their lives. Father, that doesn't mean that the storm will be taken away. But it certainly means that we'll have the peace as we face that storm that we find ourselves in the midst of. So Father, would your hand just be upon each and every one of us now? Would you keep us safe as we leave this place? And whatever tomorrow holds, would you enable us to be the witness and testimony we need to be to a lost and dying world who find themselves in the grip of fear at this present moment in time? And Lord, may through our witness, may they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We just pray and ask these things in Christ's most wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right, for those at home, you can stand if that's what you do when you sing at the end of the service. And Steve is going to sing Jesus is King and I Will Extol Him. Amen.
Jesus is King and I will extol Him, give Him the glory and honor His name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens, Word of the Spirit.
right, we'll close in a word of prayer, and then when the live stream ends, then we'll give the instructions on how we will dismiss. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Thank you so much for all of those that have gathered together in this place, Lord. Thank you for keeping us safe thus far through this time of difficulty and trouble. And Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one of your children here today, Lord. You know the needs. You know what areas of their lives needs a touch, if you like, of your peace. And we just pray that you would undertake in such an incredible way. Father, we pray that whatever situation is being faced at this time, that we would indeed have that inability to worry about, and we would rest wholly upon your strength, upon your will being done in our lives, and that we would rely upon that peace which passes understanding. So, Father, would you just keep us safe as we go separate ways, Lord? Would you bring us back together at the next appointed time, Lord? And again, we just want to praise you for being able to gather together in this way. We love you so much, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.